Thank you. Hi, I'm Merlin, and I'm an addict. Yes, I am 17 years clean, which feels pretty good. Not today, so cool it. I'm a father. Father of two, and I now feel like crying already. Jesus, it's early in. I'll talk about that because that's what got me clean. My first son was born, Jesus, it comes quick. I had a few masks on to remove first, but. So my first son was born, and I couldn't stop using, and I hated it, and I remember using in the hospital. He was in the hospital for a month, and I used so many random excuses to get out of there to go do drugs. It was too hot. I remember that was always the thing. It's just too hot. There's not enough air. I gotta go. And I remember doing drugs in the loos of the intensive care unit at the hospital. And for many years in my recovery, I felt responsible for what happened to my son at his birth, because he's disabled as a result of his birth. And I carried that shame for so long. I thought, you know, had I not been fucked up, I would have suddenly become a doctor and sorted it all out. And I still think sometimes, you know, maybe if I was a bit more with it, I would have da-da-da-da, but whatever, what was. It didn't last very long. I couldn't really do this doing drugs and being a father thing very well, and especially not doing a father for a disabled child. Actually, that's bollocks. The truth is, my wife at the time gave me an ultimatum. She said, get a job, you got to sort yourself out, otherwise you're out. And I was the type of addict who'd hooked up with someone who had a flat. That was one of the main reasons why I got married to this woman. She had a flat. And I never thought that I would ever be capable enough to support myself, in truth. I never thought I'd be able to have a job or have enough money. I mean, still to this day, I've got all these fantasies about when something and then I will, because I didn't think a lot of myself then. And I've been taught that the way to take care of myself was to use people, and that's what I did, and I did that for a long time. I didn't know anything about self-care. I mean, I really did not. I was talking about my shoes. I put my leather shoes on tonight because it makes me feel like an adult when I've got heels on, and I thought I should try to be an adult at a meeting. I occasionally polish my shoes. I did not know about polishing shoes. I didn't know that if you polish your shoes, they last longer. You know, I mean, that's a fact that was, I just wear things out until they didn't last. And that is one of the joys of my recovery, doing things that hopefully I'll last a bit longer. Taking care of myself. Anyway, I'm jumping all around here, being a grown-up, so I'm a father, so I really have to be a grown-up. I'm 24, though, I'm a father, you know, I'm clueless, I'm properly clueless, and struggling, really struggling to get clean. And, you know, the drugs I was doing were quite socially accepted. At the time, I wasn't living on the street, because I had this wife at a flat. And I was embarrassed about it, and I really struggled. And luckily, a guy I used to work with, I told once, I said, yeah, I'm just really struggling, and she's threatening to kick me out. And, you know, it was more about losing a roof, if I'm really honest. It was like, fuck. It wasn't really about my son, if I'm really, really, really honest about it. And he said, well, why don't you come to a meeting? And he told me it was a Friday lunchtime meeting in Shepherd's Bush. And he, God, I had this car. A friend of mine had lent me this car. And it was a Vauxhall Sierra. It was so skanky. I had it for a month. I don't know why I only had it for a month, but I remember it was like my little using thing. It was my office. You know, I'd go in there just to do drugs. And I don't think I even listened to music. I love music, but I think at that point I was so just drugs, fuck the music, just do the drugs. And I remember driving that car like a lunatic. I think it was the first time I actually drove it. I'd only used it to do drugs in it, but I used it for the first time. I might be exaggerating here, probably am, but I used it to get to this meeting in Shepherd's Bush. And I remember doing like driving through a zebra junction, and it was like, you know, it's kind of comic book moment. Anyway, I got very wasted before this meeting. I got to the meeting. Anthony, who's here, was there. I'm still in contact with about four of the men who had that meeting. And it was a bunch of fathers there, which is kind of quite rare. It was a small meeting. I shared. And I got kind of, come on, share now. And I shared and I cried. I like crying at meetings. and then afterwards he said, you know, do you want to come and have some food? And I called up my wife and I said, you know, I'm going to go hang out with these people, you know, because I'm trying to get clean kind of thing. And I had lunch, and then I quickly went and got more drugs. You know, I used NA, basically, to get more drugs. I used NA as an excuse, typical me. Use anything to do more drugs. And I got home eventually, and, you know, at this point in my using, I thought it was sensible to get up really early in order to get fucked up really early, in order to make everyone think I wasn't fucked up. You know, I thought if I started being fucked up, like, open my eyes, I'm fucked up, then people didn't realize I'm fucked up. And I walked in, and my wife said, how was the meeting? And I said, yeah, it was good, you know. But they say you're not supposed to drink. She's like, really? Not even a glass of wine? And I went from front door here, fridge there, freezer, vodka, poured it in a glass and had a drink. But you know, that seed had been sown, as they say. I mean, it's true, it is a seed. It's like, fuck, now I can't use as well. You know, it's just like, oh, now I know what I can do, and there's a solution, and oh, fuck. And the truth is, up until that point, it wasn't really working. I felt so uncomfortable. I had to do more and more drugs. I still felt uncomfortable. I was sitting here feeling uncomfortable before sharing. I was thinking, I mean, this is just, I can't believe I'm saying this. I was feeling grateful for my discomfort right now, because I was thinking, you know, I had no clue about my discomfort when I was using. I was just so uncomfortable that I had to do drugs. So having this feeling of, I wasn't even aware of that. You know, I was so numb. I was so numb to my body. I was, you know, my teeth were falling out. I was just, you know, all over the shop. And to feel my heart, you know, as I do now, pumping rather fast, you know, I was like a head, sort of, with his body dangling around that I wasn't taking care of. And I don't remember how long it was between that meeting and when I went to my first meeting clean, but I remember bumping into this friend and saying, I can't stop, and you know, so go to a meeting. And I went to this meeting, and I picked up a white keyring. It was the big newcomers meeting in Notting Hill, and I sat at the front row and was more concerned about the guy next to me who was continually relapsing, you know, showing my true codependent colours. But I got my keyring, and you know, I managed to get clean. And my mate who took me to that meeting, he said, I'll be your sponsor. And I was like, okay. I didn't really know. And for 2 years, I got my shit together really quickly. You know, I got a job. Wow. Applause now, please. That's when I want to forget 17 years. And I was a waiter in this restaurant. Everyone was doing so much drugs. And it was just, and I remember, I mean, I wasn't even into Coke, but I remember they had like trays with Coke on it. And I remember thinking, maybe I could just like clean the tray and just rub it on my gums, because that doesn't count, you know, that's where my head is at. But miraculously, without doing any step work, for 2 years I stayed clean. I did go to meetings. I got a commitment at the Sunday night meeting. I was the treasurer, amazingly. I don't know how they trusted me with money. But, and around the same time, I had my second son. And he was fine, thankfully. And I remember being so tired in those days. And I literally, Denby Road used to have carpets on the floor. And I'd literally go to the meeting, lie down, sleep. And then get up and go, hi, I'm Merlin, I'm an addict, I'm a treasurer. You know, can I have some money? And then, that was service for me. And to be honest with you, that's what I needed more than anything, was sleep at that point. And, you know, sometimes I just go to meetings to sleep, if I'm really honest, because I feel safe here. And I guess I feel more in touch with who I am. It's the truth. Yeah. So, young father, two kids, clueless. And, you know, insane. Completely and utterly insane. The thing was that I thought, because I got my stuff together so quickly and was suddenly this responsible guy, I thought that I was in control. And I remember sitting at this cafe with my sponsor, sitting there and going, what was the serenity prayer again? I couldn't remember the words to the serenity prayer. And I was like, oh yeah. And it was like this revelation, every line. I was like, oh shit, yes. Oh my God, this is amazing. And he just said, you know, Merlin, you're not Superman. And I got the powerlessness over drugs bit. I got that I couldn't have one. I knew that because I tried that so many times. I tried the sort of just weekends, just evenings, just mornings, just, you know, every variation of doing drugs. And only that drug, not this drug, all the various things. And it didn't work. So I got the idea that I couldn't do drugs. And, you know, when I think about being a drug addict, I think about, and I mean this, because I sometimes have to take drugs, like prescribed drugs. And, you know, when I look at the label and it says take 1 to 2, I just see 2, you know? I mean, I literally, I remember catching myself and I was like, okay, wait, I'm going to try that again. I'm going to read it. Take 2. No. And then, you know, putting my fingers under the words and I still think take 2. So I know that I'm powerless. That has never been a question for me. And in honesty, I don't want to do drugs because it wasn't working at the end, you know? It just wasn't. And the thought of that horrible place of, like, doing drugs and they don't work and it's not fixing me and trying new more and it was just like, no, thank you. But the unmanageability, forget about it. I was totally manageable. I was, like, on it, man. I was the dad. I was da-da-da-da-da. And shit kept happening and it all fall apart. Why? You know, I'm being a good boy now. You know, I'm doing it. I should. So he gave me an ultimatum, my sponsor, and he said, you know, you got to do step one or I'm dropping you. And I did. And, you know, at that point also, I was, I'm bending over. Can this go a bit higher?
Hold it.
No, I'm not going to hold it. That's too embarrassing. Unmanageability, step one. Yes, I was totally different than all of you. That's what it was. You know, I had a lot worse. I mean, I was a victim to the core. You know, I'd lived my life being a victim because then you felt sorry for me and then I could, you know, get stuff from you, basically. And, I did different drugs than you. I had a disabled child. None of you did. None of you knew how bad it was. You know, none of you. I had it so much tougher and it just kept me outside. And I didn't have any friends in NA. I just felt very separate. So I sat down and I did the step one. And boy, oh boy, was that an amazing experience, you know, and I talk about it because it's true. My step work is like carving, you know. I've got these journals. It's like Braille, my step work, because I was so fucking angry. I was like carving the words out into the paper. And I feel my journals from my early days in recovery that I'd write. And it is like Braille. I bet you I could probably figure out a few of the words in there. Usually it's just I. That's when I look at the sheets, I just see I all over it. So I started doing this step one, and it was pretty fascinating, you know. seeing these examples and seeing how unmanageable I was, and you know, the insanity in step two. I just, you know, I'm, you know, I wanted to be your whatever, an artist, filmmaker, writer, whatever it was on the current day, and I thought creativity was all about getting fucked up. So when it came to step two, I wanted insanity in my life. I thought I needed to encourage it because that was cool and all that stuff. And you know, I got to a point where I was just like, I don't want this insanity anymore. You know, I used to think it was cool that kind of weird homeless people would talk to me, but then I realized that no, you know, I don't need to encourage it. There's, life is mad enough as it is. You don't have to encourage it. And, you know, and moving on, you know, and connecting, starting to just the glimmers of belief that I'd be looked after by something bigger and better than me. Just the glimmers. And, you know, I still, it took me a long time, that one. You know, and I, what do I want to say about this? I think I stayed on the outside of NA. I heard a friend of mine talk last night at a meeting, and you know, and I cried already this morning. I was thinking about this friend. I bumped into a friend of mine at a meeting. She doesn't live in England anymore, and I remember being at this meeting. It was a lunchtime meeting in Tabernacle, and I was with my toddler at the time. And I remember being, it was one of those like raging against God moments, and I shared, and I was like, yeah, da, 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 and I just, all I remember was that kind of of what I was, how I was sharing, and I remember, you know, having this toddler, and like feeling like it was some accessory, and I was like, yeah, fuck all you, okay, I'm not supposed to swear, am I, sorry, I remember being really angry, and then this, you know, lovely French woman came up to me, you know, mother, and she said, thank you so much for what you said. And I was like, what? And this morning I was walking along thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, that thing, and Charlie said before I did the chat, I just have to be myself, you know, allowed to come to a meeting and rant and rave. I mean, we are so lucky to have newcomers' time. We are so lucky that that's the most important thing, because, you know, I've been to other fellowships, and when they don't honour that newcomers' time, you know, I remember being living in the countryside for a while, and I used to go to this meeting, and they would talk about, you know, what does a newcomer have to do? Any, all this, and that's a distraction. The point was that I could come here and just say whatever the hell I wanted and rant and rave about whatever I wanted, and that's what kept me clean. If I had not had that opportunity, had I not had that 10 minutes, which boy oh boy did I hog as much of that 10 minutes as possible, I wouldn't be here today, categorically. I would not. Because, you know, when I got clean, I had no clue. It was just all new to me, you know. It was all new, and I was just remembering the first time I had a drink. I was tiny, and I just remember it was my uncle. He gave me this little thimble of whatever it was. And I remember running around, like, wah! This massive flat, running around like a lunatic. And then falling in love with an older woman. You know, the pattern continued throughout my life, that stuff. And I just, you know, anything to change the way I feel, to fix me. And, you know, recently, I've really had to challenge my beliefs about myself as well, and the sort of the messages that I keep saying in my head, and you know, when they talk in step five about the exact nature of our wrongs, it's a very specific word, exact. It's not vague. I like vagueness. It says exact nature of our wrongs. And, you know, writing, I write pretty much daily. And you know, a lot of it is just ranting and raving and resentment. And I just started trying to just challenge that and just think, well, what, okay, my head tells me, you know, I'm not enough, it's all my fault, it's all your fault, you know, the flips between the two. And I'm really looking at the exact nature of my wrongs was just an interesting thing, because it's, and I didn't do it when I did my step five, it's been more in recent years, but realizing that word, and the idea of just the data, you know, the thing that NA really gives me is having some sort of perspective on my life, spiritual perspective, just a little shift. And And it's all those little things, you know, when I looked at the steps, it was all these big things that I thought they were. And, you know, when it talks about making amends, you know, when I looked that up, it's like slight alteration. It's not big changes, I'm sorry, da-da-da. You know, Step 12. Spiritual awakening, you know, I picture the top of a mountain, meditating, floating, levitating, all that stuff. I am called Merlin, so that stuff is real for me. It's a real goal for me as well. Spiritual awakening today is like me getting out of bed. You know, it's me waking up. It's me, you know, and if I'm just going to talk about today, I got up, I woke up really early, annoyingly, because I didn't have to. And I lay there, and I got up, and I went, and I started writing. And I flip between writing or meditating first. I kind of, sometimes my head is on me so fast I need to write, because I just got to dump that stuff out of my head. But, you know, there's just a gentleness to myself and my life today, which is just so different. So different. And someone told me, after I did a chair, because I was talking about being gentle, you know, learning to be gentle with myself, learning to be compassionate with myself. She said, you know, the biggest honor that a man can be is to be a gentleman, you know. And I like that today, because it's like, yeah, I like that. I can kind of be polite, and I can... And it allows me to wear leather shoes as well. I'm getting an umbrella sometimes. I bought myself a nice umbrella recently. You know, I didn't buy this umbrella for years because I had a resentment against this guy who had two of them. And then there's an expensive place up in Holborn, you know, on the corner. And I went by there. I had therapy around the corner from there. And I used to go, I want an umbrella from there. But that bastard, he's got one. And I don't like him. And he was in recovery. And I just had this chip on my shoulder. And then one day, it was great. It was raining and I needed an umbrella. And I got over myself. You know, I just bought myself this umbrella. Anyway, it's a nice umbrella. The exact nature of our wrongs, I've just got to look at my notes. You know, thinking back to early on, even before drugs, it was fantasy. You know, I was called Merlin for a reason. It was because I had magical powers and I tried to use them all the time. And I would lie in bed and I would, you know, scratch my eyes and do all that kind of stuff because I really did. And I had a mum who told me I was magical and special. And a dad who died when I was a baby, and you know, he was such a, you know, all this stuff. And I was born in a cottage, can you believe that? And I would have been called Electra had I been a girl, because we only just got electricity in the cottage before I was born. I'm so grateful I'm a man today, not called a woman called Electra. No offense to any woman called Electra here, it's a beautiful name. But you know, that fantasy thing of believing that, I mean, it's just a way of not being present, that's what I realised, you know. Over there, over there, over there. And you know, and I did that with the steps too. I came in here and I thought, yeah, I'm going to nail the steps, I'm going to follow the suggestions, and then I'm going to be good. You know, I'm going to be cured. And truth is that I kind of was quite good at that. I did the steps. Just to show off on the traditions today, and I, and without showing off, actually the traditions are amazing, but I'll try to get back to that later. You know, and I used NA like a drug, if I'm honest. I wanted to change the way I was feeling, and you know, there's been times where I go to loads of meetings and all that, and you know, I didn't like feeling, and 3 years ago, having gotten everything, you know, really, if I'm honest, things were sort of really, I won't go, you know, as far as I felt, it was like I'd arrived, the destination was there, things were all kind of like, I'd managed to, you know, when I meditated before that, I'd sit and kind of get into this, you know, whenever I felt a connection with God and good orderly direction, it's a buzz, isn't it? I mean, you know, I love it when I feel like I'm in the flow of things. Very quickly I want to change that flow. I'm like the dude in the Matrix, kind of like pushing the rays to the side because I want to control it the way I want it. And I would sit and I'd meditate, and I would try to figure out my life and try to think of like a complex chess game. If I do that, and then da, 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 and I'd sit there and I always remember my son coming in and going, Dad, and I was like, can't you see I'm trying to effing meditate, you know, and that was kind of not very spiritual. It was awful, Jesus. But I can have compassion for myself today about those times. but, so I basically got to a point where my wife didn't want to be with me anymore. And suddenly I was not married, I wasn't with my kids, my home wasn't my home anymore, my business was going tits up, and I was left to myself. 13, 14 years in, and I was in pieces. And I, you know, the floor had gone. And all the things that I'd held on to had gone, except for NA. But I didn't want to come in NA and tell you guys that things were going badly, because I'd spent so long, I'd just sat on so many friggin' committees to try to show you what a great member of NA I was, and been so spiritually great that I could tolerate all the GSRs going off on one, and you know. And I was screwed, and you know, from having, I really was a mess. I was a proper mess, and I didn't want to use, but I didn't know what to do. And you know, I mean, I realized that all that, you know, when you go, it's like self-care is more important when you need it, you know. I used to, whenever things would get busy or I needed, you know, that's the first thing that goes. But, you know, 13, 14 years clean, I've lost all the things that mean a lot to me. I mean, not lost, it sounds like everyone died. And sometimes I do think about that sometimes. You know, before I got divorced, I'd have this fantasy about a car crash, okay, car crash, with sort of only certain members of my family dying. And, you know, that's where my head would take me sometimes. So, I've got 5 minutes. That's a dark place to get to. How can I pick it back up? That was grim. Oh, God. But it's the truth. That's how I used to think. You know, that's, it was the magical thinking. It was thinking that when this happens, then it'll be okay. And you know, and I think, you know, I started talking about my son and when he was born. The truth is that when I was still using and my wife was pregnant, I was so scared that my fantasy was that they would both die at birth. That was the truth, because I didn't know any other way out of it. So when he was born and he was disabled, I thought that I'd wish that upon him, is the truth. And so I carry that. And, you know, all the stuff I carried, I've just trying to let go of, you know, trying to shed more. And, okay, strength. I've talked about my experience. I'm jumping around time frame, but, you know, so I was in that meeting, remember, I was telling you about being resentful, having a toddler in my arms and being angry and all that. And I became involved with a meeting that had a crash. I became involved with the Parents and Carers Committee. And helped set that up. And that was important to me, because people would say to me, you know, why don't you go to more meetings, man? And I was like, what do you mean? You want to look after my kid? You know, no one ever looked after my kids. No one ever offered to, but I had to go to meetings. And that was a really important moment for me. And another really important moment for me was sitting in a meeting years later with a sponsee who's here tonight, and he was there with his kids. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, you know. Me, clueless, I don't know how I managed to pass anything on, it definitely isn't me, it's some sort of vessel thing, but, you know, here's a sponsee, clean, working the steps with his kids in a crash. It was beautiful, it was a very special moment, and, you know, the subtler words in the steps started to become apparent. You know, I talked about awakening, spiritual awakening, spiritual connection, spiritual perspective. It talks about improving our conscious contact with God. It doesn't say perfecting, you know. It's just all these sort of softer words, gentler things. And you know, why do I still come to NA meetings since I'm cured? I'm joking, by the way. That was a bad joke. I come because, you know, me being a father and me being clean have come together. You know, they're one and the same. My second son's never seen me messed up on drugs or alcohol. And, you know, I've had to learn how to be an adult myself. And, you know, coming to NA has been like having a family and sort of modelling how to be an adult, you know. It's and, you know, I was talking about the traditions. You know, the traditions help us learn how to deal with each other, you know. And throughout this whole divorce and messy 3 years, I've used the traditions, you know, and it's helped phenomenally. And, you know, I guess I'll try to wrap up on this. You know, the other big discovery of another word was, you know, when they talk about the wildest dreams, was you know, I could figure that one out, my wildest dreams, because I was such an obsessive future person and fantasist, you know, I could picture it all when I this, that, the other, but it says beyond your wildest dreams. And it suddenly struck me that beyond means that I can't figure it out. As much as I meditate on the top of that mountain, try to figure it all out, I cannot figure it out. And it's like beyond my comprehension. So I love that. It just lets me off the hook in the most gentle way. It's like, okay, so that means I don't have to worry about the future anymore, because this stuff is, you know, it's like it's beyond my comprehension, and it just allows me to let go more and you know, more and more I'm learning to let go. And you know, now I have this beautiful gift of stress, which I realize is whenever I feel stressed or my body feels tense, it's me trying to control. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm obviously got an expectation or whatever it is, and I'm trying to control. And it's like, oh, just, you know, let go. And you know, the bravery that allows me, you know, that I guess. So many of my decisions in my life have been based around fear. And these last 3 years, I have really, because I haven't had my usual crutches, I've had to really look at what I want in my life and try to be myself and try to learn who that was. Because I didn't. I only knew who I was in relation to being a father or a husband or a sponsee or a sponsor. I didn't know what it meant, you know, just for me, in a room on my own. And you know, I had to do many days in bed. I struggled to get out of bed. I was in depression, you know. But the first thing that I did was learn how to brush my teeth. Now, I've been in recovery for 14 years, and my teeth were all falling out. You know, I hadn't been looking after myself. I taught my kids how to brush their teeth, but I wasn't brushing my teeth. And I couldn't afford to go to a dentist, so I had to go to this student dentist place and, like, south, east, somewhere, I don't even remember, it just took hours to get there, and I'd have to wait, and it was just like so much work and time. And, you know, slowly I learned how to brush my teeth, and I do that every day easily, and it's lovely, and I look forward to it. But, you know, that was me 14 years in, not doing that, and that kind of reminder that, I mean, I was grateful to it, because it brought me into my body, and I was completely oblivious to it. You know, I had six abscesses in my own mouth and I didn't even realize it. And so I, you know, I was learning to take care of myself by just brushing my teeth, and slowly I started to figure out what I wanted to do, you know. And I remember having this vision when I was in the midst of one of my very darkest hours of going, you know, it was this vision of me being on my own making myself lunch. That was it. It was as simple as that. It wasn't a big deal. It was just me on my own making myself lunch. And I have done that many times. I love it. And I love, you know, before that it had been me making these big meals for all my friends and my family. I loved all that grandiosity, you know, all that. My family, my Italian side, it kind of appealed to me. But, and slowing down and having time on my own, and, you know, the Serenity Prayer, which I just love. You can't go wrong with the Serenity Prayer. But, you know, it says, God grant me the serenity. And then, you know, to have the strength, the wisdom, the acceptance. Is it strength, wisdom, acceptance? Oh, yeah. Anyway, you guys know it. I forget it. I had a key. But, you know, the idea being that all I need to do is encourage serenity in my life. But that's all, you know, the rest of it is as a result of that. And you know, the serenity is just, it, sure, if I meditate every day, if I write every day, if I call a newcomer, if I go to meetings, all that stuff is encouraged. But And it helps me with that. But ultimately, you know, finding that serenity or meditating, it's to bring that into my day-to-day moment. So it's about me just kind of being able to be still with myself, which I'm starting to learn to do. And as I'm still and compassionate and forgiving of myself and of my past and what I used to be like, I am able to be compassionate, loving to others and live less in fear, you know. And I don't want to make decisions based on fear anymore. I'm trying to make them based on joy, and I'm trying to invite that into my relationships and my life, going, you know, what's the best thing we could do, you know. And I do it, you know, I've got a lot of... things have settled hugely with my ex-wife. I mean, I never thought I wanted to speak to her in my life. She accused me of all sorts of horrible things in courts and all this sort of stuff. And now I kind of am nice to her, you know? It's like I really could have been resentful for the rest of my life towards this woman. And, you know, I realized that I want to be nice. You know, I want to be present to what is and not just in the fantasies of what I think is best for me. And that's what's so beautiful about Beyond Your Wildest Dreams is, you know, if I can just be okay here, or not even be okay, but just try to be here, things are just so much easier. And I just want to wrap up on something really neatly, and I can't figure out what to say. And I'm starting to flounder quickly, look through my notes, I've run out of time, and yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna, that's how I end my shit. Thank you.